Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my forever soulmate and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hag Sameach, which means have a joyous Feast of Tabernacles, which began last Sunday at sundown and continues for 8 days. So tonight, we will look at this seventh feast that, as in all the others, points to Jesus. If these appointments of our Lord are new to you, rejoice because you are about to be blessed. We call the feasts the bridges to understanding correct eschatology,
which means the study of the end times.
Yes. Now let us ask our Holy Spirit for a special anointing tonight.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who provides for all our needs. God of our fathers, increase the presence of your divine Ruach to dwell in our midst. Spread over us your shelter of shalom and encircle us with your majestic glory. We thank you for sending your Son as we celebrate his earthly birth this week. We lift up to your throne this week's prayer requests, especially those with serious diseases currently afflicting those who are called by your name. We pray salvation for all our lost loved ones. We ask for your continued blessing on this ministry and for your favor in our finances. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen and glory to God. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles represents and is celebrated in remembrance of how God totally took care of his own in the desert wilderness after escaping Egypt. And we read in Zechariah 14 that this festival will still be observed in the Messianic Kingdom, and until then is memorialized in anticipation of the coming Messianic Kingdom. Interesting that God chose the first day of Tabernacles for Jesus to be born on earth. And this Feast of Sukkot, in Hebrew, will usher in the Millennial Kingdom on earth at the Supper of the Lamb to unveil his new queen.
Amen to that.
Therefore, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you too can break bread at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Well, he is our Jehovah Jireh.
Our provider. And that's what Tabernacles is all about, his complete provisions for his own. And the Hebrews understood that very well during their extended time in the wilderness. So, once in their land, the yearly sukkah or tent-like booth, which they were commanded to in Leviticus 23, is a visual memorial of that time. Today, spiritually, Yeshua is our sukkah.
Yeah, he's our covering of protection.
This 8-day Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh of all the feasts, and there's so much to say about all of God's appointments, but especially this one, because it surrounds the great harvest, when Jesus as king will rule over all the earth. And we have covered a lot, starting back in August with Teshuvah.
The 40-day season of repentance.
We also studied God's new year called Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets. We examined the culmination of Teshuvah called the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or picture of the tribulation.
Again, folks, focusing on repentance,
especially on Yom Kippur's Day of Atonement, and gave the details of how that too will be fulfilled with Christ's second coming on the last day of his 7-year judgment. This seventh and greatest of all feasts has other idiomatic names as well.
Well, like the season of joy.
So that's a great clue for us, because the angel declared in Luke 2, verse 10, by using the joyful terminology, that Yeshua was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. These are clues, and they're gold nuggets given to us throughout his word for us to find.
Proverbs 24:2.
Which is why seeing through the lens of your Jewish roots opens our eyes to see more clearly.
Amen. Oh, but before we continue with that, should we give a little news?
Well, it has now been revealed President Zelensky of Ukraine, he just got to be psychotic, to call for a nuclear first strike against Russia, which would surely escalate into a global nuclear war. Russia responded that this is exactly why they went into Ukraine, to destabilize and neutralize them.
For it's obvious Zelensky is a puppet.
Oh, yeah. To do the demonic globalist bidding, who want war and chaos.
Which is why Ukraine refused in the beginning to negotiate.
Yes. All Ukraine had to do was to agree not to join NATO. Was this worth all this damage and grief to his people? And why isn't Zelensky being held more accountable for all the billions, actually I think it's up to about 54 now, of our money and weapons that we sent him? And why not send them, I think we should actually send them what they really need, as in the air defense system.
Well, because Biden is slow walking to prolong the war.
I think so. He's doing the master's bidding so as, well, not pushing for negotiations, which he should be doing.
Yeah, and wants to raise our debt.
Yes, continue to raise our debt so that when the One World Order promises to cancel all our debts, including all our personal liabilities, we'll jump right in on that bandwagon.
Well, you know, that is the sugar.
Yeah, on a sword. For with that comes giving away our freedoms and national sovereignty.
So, no doubt, but we'll own nothing.
Yeah, no debt or we'll own nothing.
Right.
And Klaus Schwab says, we'll be happy about it. And now Biden just warned us about a pending Armageddon as he asked for more money at a recent fundraiser. Kind of a scare tactic there. And right from the very beginning of this proxy war, we have been taught to believe that Ukraine is innocent and Russia is the aggressor. And yes, Russia is brutal and horrible and did go into Ukraine. But what is the rest of the story? Should we believe the narrative from corrupt leaders? Was Putin provoked? He said the Russians in eastern Ukraine were being persecuted and that they begged Putin to take the region over. You know, Putin many years ago stated he would not stand by while the global elite take over the world. And he's known for a long time that someday they would try to bring down his regime.
Remember the Arab Spring?
Mm-hmm. And that's what the very elite are trying to do because Putin will not join their agenda. And like Trump had tried to do, wants to remain a sovereign nation. But the demonic globalists, they just won't hear of it.
That's why Trump will never be president again.
Not without a miracle, which all depends on God's timeline. And we'll close the news with this. It's an open secret that there's a lot of dishonesty going on inside Ukraine's elite leaders.
Not the regular folks.
No. Experts say Ukraine, over other countries, has the highest number of fraud-related crimes.
And we know about Hunter and Burisma.
I also understand they make the soldiers wear a Nazi black sun wheel of a pagan occult sewn on the military's uniforms.
And, you know, Ukraine did back the Nazis during the war.
And, by the way, all opposition by the suffering citizens of Ukraine, and they are suffering. But the truth of this war, when it tries to come out, it's being shut down, as in the TV stations and newspapers with the outspoken advocates against the war being jailed.
So Zelensky is not for free speech.
Not at all. And unfortunately, it's time to move on.
All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. or call the office. And leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to help keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, chovarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay. It was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that the Hebrews dwell in a sukkah, or a booth, for 7 days as a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness, where God took care of them completely. There is a more detailed account of this by Nehemiah after returning to the land from Babylon. So, after many years, was read again by Ezra. And we know from verse 1 of chapter 8, it was the seventh month, which means it was Tishrei. So, it was Rosh Hashanah, a new year. And on the second day of this feast, they all gathered to hear Ezra read about dwelling in the booths during the upcoming feast. We know to be tabernacles. So, honey, pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 15, as God instructs them what to do.
They should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in their courtyards or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim.
And they still do today, as I witnessed when visited Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles, and some Orthodox do here as well. And, which is great, some Christians who study their roots, especially those with children, will do as well. Praise the Lord. Continue in verse 17.
So, the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. So, there was very great gladness, also day by day from the first day until the last day. He read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner.
So besides on Saturday, they would enjoy an extra 2 high Sabbaths. On the first day, Tishri 15, again, that's Yeshua's day of his earthly birth. And also on the eighth day, which was an extra day of the feast in anticipation of when Jesus would be circumcised.
So, a very important day.
Because Christ's circumcision is a type of his coming blood covenant. And we'll talk more about the eighth day next week. But a pretty big deal to God and mind-blowing to comprehend how God arranged all this hundreds of centuries ahead of time. And what's also amazing is that he made it easy for us to figure out by telling us when John the Baptist's father Zacharias was serving in the temple. And then his word says to us that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her and told her she was pregnant also.
It's all in his word.
All you need to be is a diligent student. And with just that information and a little mathematical counting, we can learn that Jesus was incarnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of Hanukkah, which is also called the Feast of Lights, as is another idiom for the Feast of Tabernacles too.
Right, because he is the light of the world.
Exactly, and all planned out that way. Amen. So anyway, let's now talk about some of the ceremonies which all point to Jesus as well. One of the ceremonies performed during the Feast of Joy is called the waving of the lulav. So let's read Leviticus 23:40.
And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
Okay, a great typology. Everyone brings a fruit. They chose an etrog, which is comparable to a lemon, but bigger and sweeter. And that would serve as the fruit of the good trees.
Trees represent people.
Right. And there are good trees and there are bad trees. Anyhow, God demanded very specifically, as we just read, that they needed the branches of a palm and some myrtle, which would be from the leafy tree, and also some willows. So then the three branches were held in the right hand with the etrog held upside down in the left. Then they would join together both hands while turning the etrog upright and begin waving the entire lulav in 6 directions.
North, south, east, west, and up and down.
That's right. And here we see how spiritually it represents a union. For after a person is turned right side up to God, then they would unite with Israel, represented by the branches, and anyone could choose to serve the one true God and join in with Israel. So we can see how this lulav ceremony has even a greater meaning for Gentile believers in Yeshua, because the etrog fruit represents us. When, as a believer, should, as referenced in God's word, join themselves to Israel.
To produce a greater and sweeter union.
Mm-hmm. And there are some more very unique characteristics about the different components of the lulav.
Again, each specifically ordered by God.
And for good reason. Because the date palm has no fragrance, but it does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it does have fragrance. And the willow has no fruit or fragrance, but has the sound of the wind as it blows in the breeze.
A great picture of the body of Christ.
Yes, we are a diverse group with different attributes and different gifts. But there's still another lesson to glean from this. Each item is found in diverse places. The willows by the brook,
the myrtle by the mountains,
the date palms by the valleys, and the citron or the etrog from the very fertile valleys in the deeper lower lands. The body of Christ is open to all walks of life from all over the world, should you choose to worship the real God.
And not Allah.
Right. Now another ceremony is called
the House of the Water Pouring,
where the priests would cut 25-foot willow branches and align themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows, approximately 30 feet apart. When signaled, they each stepped forward on the right foot while swinging the branches to the left in unison. As they stepped forward on the left foot, the branches would swing to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward the city of Jerusalem. And what do you think that sounded like?
A rushing wind approaching the temple.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the high priest and his assistant had retrieved a golden vessel of water known as the Mayim Hayim, or living water. And they would get that from the pool of Siloam.
So, an important piece of real estate.
It sure is, because in John chapter 9, Jesus put clay on the eyes of the man who was blind from birth and told him to wash it off in the pool of Siloam. Anyhow, the high priest's assistant, a Levite priest, would carry a silver vessel full of red wine. So as the priests with the willows approached the temple, they met up with a group from Siloam. When a trumpet was blown, a single flute began to play, who was called the Pierced One, who then led the procession as the wind and the water also entered the temple. Get the picture here? Our Pierced One will one day lead all his righteous ones into his new messianic kingdom.
More great typology. And there's more.
Mm-hmm. Other priests were laying sacrifices on the fire of the altar and would then circle the altar not once, but seven times on the seventh day. And this was called the day Hosanna Rabbah, meaning the great salvation. And then the willow branches were placed against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah. After that, the high priest and his assistant ascended the altar, from the east of course, pouring out the water with the wine over the altar.
Of course, this pictures Jesus' side being pierced.
Yes, with the sword, when blood mixed with water spilled out on the altar of the cross. So, very similar. Then, and this is truly thought-provoking,
they would sing Isaiah 12:3.
Yes, and it goes like this. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of
salvation.
Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. So they were singing, let us draw water from Yeshua. The details are just so amazing to me. And it was during this ceremony, on the seventh day, again called Hosanna Rabbah, that we see in John 7:37 that Jesus himself proclaims
that if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink.
That was on Hosanna Rabbah that he said that. There is still much more connected to this festival, with many other names like Feast of All Nations, Feast of Dedication, Feast of Lights, and the Feast of Ingathering. And we will finish this great feast next week, and we'll explain in detail the eighth and final day called Simchat Torah, also called Shemini Atzeret. But know this right now. You must be sure that you have been born again into him if you want to be part of the future kingdom represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And how can you be sure? You will have a desire to know him more, with a passion to be in his word, in his presence, our Bible, because Jesus is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. So just do it. Again, the traditional prayer during tabernacles is Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam she'asah li kol zorki. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs, not just some of them, all my needs. Now let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, verses 22 through 27. You should have this memorized by now. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Please tell someone about Jesus and that this is a very special week of his birthday. And I'll see you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.